A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Senior Pastor of Word Fountain Christian Ministries, Pastor Dupe Adefola. Be blessed.
Our Father and our God, we bless you.
Hallelujah.
Jehovah, we honor you. We thank you that you are the God that hears and you answer prayers. Unto you will all flesh come. It is to you we have gathered today. We have come from north, we have come from south, we have come from the east, we have come from the west. We have come from far and near. We have come male and female. We have come generations. We have come people who know you, people who want to know you. We have come to say, Daddy, you are good and your mercies endure it forever.
Amen.
We thank you that you are God that watches over your word. You don't lie and you watch over your word to perform it. Thank you for giving us rest. Thank you for giving us rest. Thank you for speaking peace to us. Peace over the nation. Peace over the church. Peace over our families. Peace over this gathering. And every gathering in the city of Oxford and even beyond. For unto you alone shall the gathering of your people be. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Lord, open our ears, that we may hear what your spirit is saying.
Amen.
And open our hearts, that we might be inclined to do what we have heard.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you for moving us. Thank you, Father, for resting upon the praise and the worship. Lord, to move us out of danger, out of calamity,
Amen.
Out of the waterless pits of life,
Amen.
Out of being lost, and translating us into the kingdom of your dear Son.
Amen.
We are being moved. And in you we live,
Amen.
In you we move,
Amen.
And in you we have our being.
Amen.
Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Put those hands together for the Lord bless you, choir. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Please be seated. We thank God for everyone that is here. We bless the name of the Lord. It's a privilege having everyone here, those who have traveled from far. We thank God for you, and we are glad to have Pastor Foye Ketolani with us. Help me to celebrate the woman of God. Hallelujah. And we believe, God, that all the ministers of God in the house and those that will yet join us are truly blessed. We are glad to have the Mumbesherers and their family. Let's appreciate them. God bless you. Hallelujah. I saw this auntie last when we had the wedding, and it's good to have you and Daddy with us as well. God bless you. Hallelujah. I see many faces. If you allow me to greet faces, we will not go into the world. So I will greet you after the service. Amen. Restoration. Somebody shout restoration.
Restoration.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you expect it?
Yes.
Have you experienced it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank God for his word. Acts chapter 2, quickly. Amen. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 1. I'll stop at verse 13. Please pay attention to the word of the Lord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The Bible tells us of an incident in history that stands the test of time. And by the mercy of God, God will want us to ponder upon about restoration. Hallelujah. Bible tells us a few things, but overnight, two things were impressed upon my heart. The first one is the verse 13. What does this mean? Somebody say, what does this mean? Now, I want you to say, what does this mean in your own language, your primary language to the person beside you? Say it to them, whatever language it is. Say it to them. Say it to them. Do you understand what they said? They were speaking in tongues that people were amazed, not what they were saying, because people understood what they were saying, but the phenomenon that people who are Galileans will suddenly begin to speak languages that they were not taught. What does this mean? And because they asked for explanation, Peter, by the help of the Holy Spirit, gave them explanation. And verse 37, if you have not closed your Bible, let's read verse 37 together. Verse 37, let's read it together. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Hallelujah. So the two things the Lord laid on my heart for us to hearken to. What does this mean? What shall we do? So ask your neighbor, what does this mean? And what shall we do? Is it not amazing that we have a God who loves to answer us? What does this mean? Let me quickly give you three things the Lord laid in my heart. The first one is that the Pentecost was a continuation of God's work on earth. It was not a random event. It was not a random event. If you read Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, the Bible tells us even in the old time, God said to the children of Israel, three times in the year shall your men appear before me. The feast of the Passover, the feast of weeks, and the feast of ingathering or the booths. And so, just fast forward, in the time of Jesus Christ, or let's even settle at the feast as it was in the shadow, because we know that everything that was in the Old Testament was a shadow of what to come. At the feast of the Passover, every family will present a lamb. It happened when they were living in Egypt. Every family presented a lamb. At Pentecost, you need to read Leviticus chapter 23 fully. You will see, and I marked down, but because of time, there were about six separate times when the Bible talks about the offering of fire, of offering by fire, offering by fire, offering by fire. So the feast of the weeks, or the feast of harvest, was by fire. Somebody say fire. And then the ingathering. That is when, after they finish the year, like we do on the 31st, they will all come back and say, we thank you. They will sing before God. But people will choose to come. And even if by what happens in this church is to anything to be reckoned with, on that 31st, people come from all over. They just want to be in the church before you shout, Happy New Year. Is that not true? Is that not true? All of a sudden, ushers have a good problem. They are not trying to pull chairs to make sure that chairs are properly arranged. They are looking for more chairs in the old shadow. Fast forward. Somebody say, fast forward. Fast forward. Tell your neighbor, fast forward. Fast forward. Say, don't slow down. Just fast forward. In the new order, for the Passover, God provided himself a lamb. for the Pentecost, God provided himself the fire. And for the ingathering, which is for the rapture, he's going to choose who will come. For the ingathering, which is the rapture of the saints, when God will gather people from all over the world, he will choose who will come. For the Passover, he provided himself the lamb. For the Pentecost, he provided himself the fire. For the rapture, he will provide himself the people. Do you think he will consider you as part? The New Testament is the real deal. The Old Testament is a shadow, but you can learn from it. When I was training to be an accountant, they told me about profit and loss, trial balance, ledger. And I thought I knew it. I finished with distinction. I was so good. But when I sat down, when I got my youth call job, and I got to the office, and they presented me a book like this. I said, this is the ledger. I said, this is not the one they taught me. But that was the real deal. That was the real deal. They showed me the trial balance. I said, no, this is not how they taught me. They said, this is the real deal. Church, we are on the two-thirds of the real deal. The last one-third is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Can you hear the sound? The Bible said they heard the sound. It was like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house, and the fire of God came. There is a sound from heaven. Even yesterday night was part of the sound. It was not a missed sound that those who have ears will hear. I do not rejoice over the people who lost their lives or the people who got wounded. But I'm speaking to the people who will hear me, who are hearing me today, and those that will yet hear this message. The third sound is coming. What does this mean? Thank God that those disciples were obedient to stay and pray. The anointing did not come because they were singing. It was because they were in obedience to God and they were in unity. May God find us united. Amen. May God find you obedient. Amen. In the name of Jesus. What does this mean? It means it's a fulfillment of prophecy. If you read Numbers chapter 11, 24 to 29, when God asked Moses to choose 70 people that will receive of the anointing he was carrying, two of them decided to stay at home. The anointing went to look for them at home. And when people came to Moses and said, look, they even mentioned their names. They said, these people did not come. They are prophesying. Moses said, I wish that all men will be speaking in tongues, will be filled with the Spirit. Open it. Numbers 11, 29. So you know that is a continuation. Moses desired it. He didn't see it. But by the grace of God, you and I will see it in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers 11, verse 29. Hallelujah. Has anybody found it? Yes, please. Let's read.
29. And Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake will go that all the lost people were prophets, amen, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them.
Amen. Are you envious that 70 people, oh, my desire is that everyone will prophesy and that God will put his spirit on them? It didn't happen. John chapter 14, 16 to 17. Someone else? John 14, 16 to 17. Let's share the reading. Hallelujah. Anybody there? Yes, please. Thank you, brother Kunle. You're really on it. 17, 16 to 17.
John 14, 16 to 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
Hallelujah.
And he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be with you.
Hallelujah. Do you know that God answers prayers? Yes. Even the prayers of Jesus. I will pray the Father. So the Pentecost, the meaning of it is the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus promised it, and God watched over it to promise it, to deliver it. Joel chapter 2, speaking through the prophet, God had said that he was going to restore the years the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm have eaten, even his own great army. So God has promised restoration. Are you going to partake of the restoration in the name of Jesus? Are you going to partake of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? I pray that no one will be missing in Jesus' name. Why? Because there were three groups of people that were present. We are still talking about meaning. Three groups of people. A group said, what does this mean? Another group mocked. And another group asked, what shall we do? Which part are you today? Are you one of those asking, what is the meaning of this Pentecost? I hear people speaking in tongues. What is it about? Open your hearts to God and ask the God of heaven to pour his spirit on you. It's better experienced than explained. That's all I can say about the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When you open your hearts to God, he will surely fill your heart with his spirit. As you prepare your heart for him, you take away the things that can be and that can grieve the Holy Spirit. Because he's a person. He's not an idea. He's not an opinion. He's not wind. He's not fire. He's not a bird. He is a person. Amen. So whatever you know can grieve him, you take it away. Why do we use the dove to represent the Holy Spirit? I have shared it before. I'll share it again. Among all of God's creation, they have found, those that care to research, that the dove, once it mates with one bird, it never mates with another one till it dies. Purity. It doesn't jump from one bird to the other. Purity. It's gentle. Gentle. Those are the things that make the dove to be the nearest out of the birds that we can use to, not an ostrich. They haven't used an ostrich to describe the Holy Spirit. Not an eagle. I can fly. I can target my food. It wasn't used. They didn't qualify. Not even a lion. Because it's not about your power. It's not by your might, but by the Holy Spirit. How many people desire the Holy Spirit? You have been filled before, you can be filled again. In the name of Jesus. What does this mean? It's a fulfillment of prophecy, of God's promise. God has poured out his spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues so that we can speak to him in an unlearned language and we can speak for him in languages that people will hear. There is a language of prayer with which you communicate to God and with God that the devil cannot interrupt. They cannot say, oh, it's unclear. They cannot say, we don't understand what you are saying. It gives you a prayer language that you and God can use to communicate. But when you speak in the natural, ears that have ears, people that have ears will hear you. You speak to God, you speak to men about the good things of God. Hallelujah. May you be a bearer of good news. In the name of Jesus Christ. And he also came, and the fulfillment of the promise is to provoke us to desire spiritual gifts. Not to be satisfied with going to church and being part of the crowd, but rather to manifest the power of God through his fruits and his gifts. Not yours, but his. Hallelujah. What does this mean? Empowerment. Somebody say empowerment. Empowerment. What does this mean? Empowerment. That ordinary fishermen will go and stand before kings who want to put them in prison. And say, we do not care to answer you about this matter. That they will be put in prison and foundations of prison will shake without them lifting a finger. Empowerment. What does this mean? Somebody say empowerment. Empowerment. You are filled with God. You become the carrier of God. You may go to church, but the church is already in you. The worship is already in you. The prayer is already in you. I pray that that will be your portion in Jesus' name. The third thing it means is that is the restoration of God's plan. The Holy Spirit is not a stranger. It was before creation. He moved at creation. He moved at redemption. He moved at Pentecost. And he's moving again. Hallelujah. I've said in Genesis 1, the Bible said the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Waters in the Bible can also stand for nations. So this move of God can affect Asia, affect Africa, affect America, affect Europe, affect Australia, affect the nations, no matter their state. If the church will stand in the gap, just as it moved in the past, in the day of creation, when there was void, when there was chaos, and when there was darkness, the same Spirit moved. The same Spirit of God, in restoring God's plan for the end time, can move upon the nation, move upon souls, and save them. Can move in the church among his people. Hallelujah. The move of God in fulfilling God's purpose in the end time is that the church will move from sitting down to going ye. That will move from being a local assembly to being a global force. That when we say, let's pray for nations, that's not the time your prayer will be at the lowest volume. Father, save Pakistan, Syria, Palestine, Israel. Let's pray about fire, everyone trouble me, fire, everyone. You need the fire for the nations. Because if the nations are at peace, the peace you are praying for can last. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for in its peace, you have peace. When it's time to pray for nations, as soldiers of the cross, we should stand and say, Lord, we are standing in the gap for the nations. I mean, thank God for Pastor Clara sharing with us about the prayers through Ramadan. I never knew that there are as many Muslims in India as there are people in Nigeria. There are 172 million Muslims in India. The whole population of Nigeria is 175 million. Even if 1% of 172 is corrupt and bad, they can do havoc. Do the mathematics. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to stand firm. I pray that the Spirit of Pentecost will make us to become envious of God's purpose in this end time, so that the power we receive today will move us to go to the nations, move us to affect nations. The nations are already around you. You don't need a visa to go to Pakistan on this street. Door one, Pakistan. Door two. Door three, Syria. Door four, India. You are just moving among the nations, if you care to see. So you can go to the nations, staying in Cowley. Don't even go to, where are they? Just go through this street, just the next street. Go through here. The nations are here. So don't say, I don't have a passport. You're a missionary in the land. May God help us in Jesus' name. And we are equipped to be global change agents. The Lord will help us. And so what does this mean? It means that we have a responsibility to God. Let's rise up to our feet. You have the meaning. Now the question is, what shall we do? What shall we do? How can we be part of this that God is doing? What shall I do as a woman? What shall you do as a boy, as a girl, as a man? I pray that the move of the Holy Spirit will provoke you beyond a fast song and a slow song. It will move you into prayer, into mission, into loving, into social action, into decreeing the will of God. What shall I do? Ask yourself. Ask God. God, what shall I do? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you need a prayer language? Do you need a tuning of your prayer language? Have you been forgiven? Have you gone through the first Passover? where God provided himself with a lamb? Have you accepted that sacrifice as being enough for you? The truth is that until you have accepted that lamb, you cannot embrace the fire. It will burn, it will destroy. But if you have been changed by the lamb, then your body, your mind, your spirit can endure the power of the fire. The fire does not fall anyhow, anywhere. It falls on bodies that have been prepared. I want you to pray. If you know you are not saved, don't make a mockery. Don't be among those who mocked, who thought that it was about alcohol, about Guinness or Star or whatever you drink. It's not about hot. It's about the pure spirit of God. And if you know you need him, first of all, go through the lamb. As the lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, to take away your own sin, to forgive you and to return you back to God. Pray that prayer. Put your right hand on your chest if you want God into your life. This is not a time to look for others. When you are on the plane and they are giving you the safety instructions, they tell you, even if you have a child beside you, put on your own mask first. This is the time when you put on your mask first. Pray for yourself. Pray that the mercy of God will save you. I don't know how you came into church. Maybe you came in justified, or maybe you came in condemned. Go through the lamb and receive the commendation of God. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? I don't want you to miss this opportunity. Hallelujah. If you're giving your life to Jesus, what a great privilege on Pentecost. There is room for you to be discipled so that you can understand every step of the way. Is there anyone in this house today who wants to say this prayer? Lord Jesus, I come to you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I acknowledge that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I repent of my sin. I ask that you cleanse me from my unrighteousness, that you take away the heart of stone and give me the heart of flesh. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. I reject you, Satan. You will no longer control my mind or my heart. I yield myself to God. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for saving me. If you are here today and you said that prayer, I want to pray with you. So, Father, upon the confession of the lips of your children, the meditation of our hearts today, I pray that thou that searchest every heart, you will by your spirit release the grace of salvation unto everyone who meant the words of the prayer in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that upon every saved heart, there will be the outpouring of your spirit like never before to revive, Lord, to cause us, oh God, to thrive spiritually. And help us, Father, that when you come for the ingathering, we will be among the people that you were called to be with you. Help us, Father, to walk in this grace, in this wisdom and the boldness that will say no to temptations and will live right with you. Thank you, Most High God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put those hands together for the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless. Yeah.